Good and gracious God, it is my prayer this morning, and I think it is all of our prayers this morning, that your word might speak through these hoarse words of mine and in spite of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Those amens, I'm telling you, they're hard to get out this morning. So it was in April of 1942, after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, that a young Virginian by the name of Desmond Doss went to enlist in the Army and to fight on the front lines of World War II. So he went to his local Army recruiter, but he had this one strange request for someone showing up to enlist in the armed forces, He wanted to enter the military as a conscientious objector, or as he liked to say, a conscientious cooperator. While he saw the need for men to fight and die to protect our freedoms in the World War II conflict, as a devout Seventh-day Adventist, Desmond Doss refused to so much as pick up a weapon, let alone take another human life. And so he showed up to the recruiter and said, "I want to serve in the Army, but I don't want to pick up a rifle, a gun. I will not take another human life." And Army recruiters being Army recruiters, he said, "Okay, that's absolutely no problem. We'll get you signed up here." So Desmond Doss signed the papers. He enlisted in the Army. And when he arrived at Fort Jackson down in South Carolina to go through basic training, he found that his conscientious objector status was a very big deal, both to his commanding officers and his fellow soldiers. They just weren't buying it. They didn't believe that his religious conviction was honest. They thought he was just a slacker who didn't want to go through the hardship of basic training. And so when he was praying and when he was studying his Bible, they would huck shoes at him. They would cuss at him and curse at him. They would beat him. His commanding officers tried to court-martial him. They tried to have him declared as mentally unfit to serve in the armed forces. And when all of that failed, and when Desmond Doss stood firm in his religious conviction, refusing to so much as pick up a rifle, the commanding officers and the soldiers around him relented, and they accepted him as he was. And he went on to serve as an army medic in both Guam and the Philippines, and later in Japan. Now, as a diligent student of the scriptures, there's no doubt in my mind that Doss had read the scripture reading that we read this morning, the story about the blind beggar and the story about Zacchaeus. I can't help but wonder if he found them sources of strength as he was going through this ordeal in basic training, as he had to deal with the physical and verbal abuse of all those around him. He was receiving it from all sides. There's some striking parallels, I think, between the stories, Doss's story, and the stories that we read this morning. Our first story this morning was one about a blind beggar. And as far as Jesus' stories go, this was pretty straightforward. There's a blind guy by the side of the road. He's just sitting there when he hears this great commotion going on. So he asks those around him, he says, what's going on? And they tell him, Jesus the Nazarene he's passing by. And what does he do? When he hears that Jesus the Nazarene is passing by, he starts shouting out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And all those around him, they are mortified. He's acting a fool. He's embarrassing them. He's making them look like a bunch of schlemiels in front of Jesus who's going by. So they tell him to shush up, be quiet. Stop shouting. But Luke tells us this morning, when they tell him to shut up, he starts shouting all the louder, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus hears the man's plaintive cries, and he calls him over to him. And he restores his sight. It's a beautiful moment. Jesus restores his sight, and both the man and all those around him who witnessed the healing, those people who but minutes before were telling him to shut up, they all began praising God together there in the middle of the road. And as Jesus continued on his way down to Jericho, the man who was once blind followed him. That was our first story. And then our second story is a little bit different. It's about a tax collector named Zacchaeus. And we're told that he is short in stature. He's just a little guffer, about this tall. And as Jesus makes his way into Jericho, the people are lined up along the streets. And Zacchaeus wants to get up next to the road and see him. But the scripture says that he's so short he can't see over the crowd. Now, what I think we all know at this point, because we've run into this topic a couple times, is that tax collectors in Jesus' day were despised by their countrymen because they worked for the Romans and they would extort money from the people from whom they were supposed to be collecting taxes. So if you owed this much tax, the tax collector would add a little bit more for themselves on top and get that all from you. So Zacchaeus was rich, and he was rich at the expense of his fellow countrymen. So tax collectors in general were hated. And you have to imagine being a short little tax collector, people knew who he was. So I question whether he couldn't see over the crowd or whether the crowd wouldn't let him see Jesus. I picture him trying to, move to the front of the crowd, get in between people. He gets hip-checked to the left, gets elbowed to the right. They're not letting him get up and get a glimpse of Jesus, are they? They know who he is, and they don't like him. He's a notorious sinner. So Zacchaeus says, "To heck with this," and he runs up ahead, climbs up a sycamore tree, and he's waiting there when Jesus comes down the road. And we're told that it's not Zacchaeus who first saw Jesus, but it's Jesus who first saw Zacchaeus. Jesus spots him in the tree and says, "Zacchaeus, quick, come down, because I need to go over to your house." Jesus invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house. And so Zacchaeus comes down and he leads him off to his house. And they leave the crowd behind. But as they do, the crowd is still grumbling with displeasure, says the scripture. They're gossiping. They're calling names. They're saying, "Why would Jesus go to the home of such a notorious sinner?" So in these two stories, two very different stories, I think, the story of the blind beggar and the story of Zacchaeus, we find two truths. And the first truth we find, I think, is a happy truth. And that is sometimes when you push back against the crowd, the power of the crowd, when you're surrounded by the crowd, they have a way of exerting pressure on you to conform to their standards of propriety. They want you to act in a certain way. They want you to be in a certain way. And when, for Jesus' sake, you push back against what the crowd wants you to do, sometimes, as in the case of the beggar, you're going to win over the crowd and everybody's going to start praising God together with you. And I'm happy to report that is actually what happened with Desmond Doss. He went on to serve with his company in the Battle of Okinawa. Specifically, he served at a place called the Maeda Escarpment. And this was the last foothold of the Japanese army in World War II. It was April of 1945, and the Germans were already surrendering, but the Japanese had yet to give up the fight. And so this Maeda Escarpment, which was a cliff 400 foot high, jagged, rocky, and at the top of it there was this great plateau. in which the Japanese armies had entrenched themselves. They had bunkers, they had underground caverns, trenches. And this was their last foothold in their own country. And so Doss's company was called to come and clear it out. So they came and they climbed that 400-foot wall and they got to the top plateau. And when they got there, they were almost immediately set upon by hundreds of Japanese soldiers. And most of the men in this company were almost immediately injured or killed. And those who weren't fled to the bottom of the cliff. All save one soldier, Desmond Doss. Desmond Doss remained on the top of that cliff, and with bullets whizzing by his head and with grenades going off all around him, on hands and knees, he crawled around the battlefield, first to one soldier and then to the next, and he would triage their wounds, and one by one, he would drag them to the cliff and lower them by a rope to safety at the bottom. And after he lowered each person, and this is a true story, he would pray to God. He would say, "Lord, please help me save just one more." And then he would crawl off again into the battlefield to save another soldier. He worked all through the day and all through the night, putting his own life in peril. And when all was said and done, he saved 75 American soldiers. He lowered 75 American soldiers from the top of that plateau. Well, the truth is, he estimated at 50 because he was so humble, and his company estimated it at 100 because they think that's what he actually did, so they decided to divide it down the middle and just say 75 people. He saved 75 people. He made it down to safety himself, but several days later, he was in a battle and he was injured, and he was sent back home. But when he got home, he was awarded the Medal of Honor and was pinned to his chest by President Harry S. Truman. And as he pinned it to his chest, he said, "Desmond, I want you to know I'm very proud of what you did." So the happy truth in our scripture reading this morning is that sometimes when you push back against the crowd, when you swim against the current, sometimes you're going to win the crowd over. Sometimes they're going to end up praising God with you. Sometimes they're going to pin a Medal of Honor to your chest. But there's also a hard truth in this story, in the story of Zacchaeus. And the truth is that sometimes, if not most of the time, when for Jesus' sake you push against the crowd, they're not going to love you. You're going to be walking arm in arm with Jesus towards your house, and they're going to be behind you gossiping about you, saying horrible things about you. That is the hard truth in this passage. I'm part of a clergy Facebook group on Facebook of young UCC clergy. And not a month goes by when someone doesn't report that the rainbow flag in front of their church or the Black Lives Matters sign in front of their church gets defaced. Just this past week, a young woman from the Midwest, she received a death threat from someone because her church has an open and affirming stance. When you push against the crowd for Jesus' sake, not everyone is going to love you. Sometimes there will be some pushback. But the good news for all of us in this, I think, if we can take anything away from our scripture reading this morning, it's that when you call out to God, we're told that Jesus hears you. When you climb up in a tree, Jesus sees you, friends. When you're pushing back against the crowd, when you're swimming against the current, when you're cutting against the grain, the only one whose opinion matters, God. God sees you, God hears you, and God is beside you all the way. Thanks be to God. Amen.